The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
This week, in the lead up to National Day, the Breakfast Huddle is taking a closer look at true Singapore companies. Well, Far East Flora actually started out as a little van that went around Singapore selling eggs and flowers in the 1960s, before the founders formally established their florist business back in 1965. That's the birth year of Singapore, the year we gained independence, right? Well, you fast forward to today, which man doesn't know FarEastFlora.com, because it's also in regional markets such as Malaysia and Hong Kong, and it offers over 1,000 products that can be shipped to over 140 countries worldwide. Well, we know many of us like to surprise our friends and loved ones, say on their birthday, holiday season, Valentine's Day, and like I said, that's why men should know this brand. How does a company that's been around for so many years remain relevant all year long? Well, joining us in the studio this morning is Si Pei Sun, General Manager of FarEastFlora.com. Pei Sun, good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. Good morning.
Let's talk a little about the history of Far East Flora. The company was launched 54 years ago, but what's the story behind it? How did that process come about?
I think in the olden days, really, it's about livelihood. People try to make a living. What you just said about the bit where our group MD, Danny Chow, selling flowers and eggs out of the back of a van.
Quite interesting, yeah.
Yes, yes. And so actually we could have ended up selling eggs today. But luckily, he chose flowers over eggs. So he used to drive the van early in the morning. Yeah. He'd go around to the Caucasian Ang Mo ladies, sold his wares from behind his van. And I think he's a really shrewd businessman and pays attention to what his customers need. So eventually, bit by bit, he expanded his business. Mm. So at first it's importing a little bit of other flowers and selling them. And when the opportunity came up, the land outside Thompson Road that we are now quite familiar with,
yes,
that garden stretch, when that came up for lease, he took a very bold step and established our very first outlet there. And we've grown to strength ever since.
It's quite interesting, florist business. I remember many years ago, so the brand is very well known. You think flowers in Singapore, most of the time you'll think Far East Flora. So I wanted to buy some flowers and I realized I could do it online. What is the secret in terms of, staying relevant, lasting for so long? I mean, the digital age kind of killed off a lot of people, but you guys are still going strong.
It's an ongoing fight, I think. Okay. In the last 3 years, when I think the market changed quite a bit when the very big digital players came into the market. We've been online since the year 2000. We were one of the first florists to be online. And that was back then when we had no computers in the company at all.
Okay.
Seriously. So one day, Danny just said, I think this is important. You guys go figure out how you're going to do this. And we've been figuring out since. So 2 to 3 years ago, things got actually a little uncomfortable for us.
Okay.
You've got lots of players coming into the market, and these are people who are really good at creating excellent user experiences. They're big, they have resources, and it's changed what customers want from us as well.
Right.
Yeah, and so we've had to keep pace with finding out what customers expect from us. We're now working on trying to delivering a better experience.
Okay.
That's one. And of late, we've also, with social media, Instagram, Facebook, it's really easy to set up a flower business now.
True.
Yeah. The flower business has always been, for ages, people have said, it's a very low barrier of entry business. And it's become even easier now with Instagram. Mm. You don't need a shop anymore. Just do something, take pictures, upload, and try and sell. And that many, many small little florists have popped up like this. Mm-hmm. It's enough to create some sort of competition for us as well. And so then a few years back, we've also turned our attention to reinventing product designs, trying to make sure that we remain relevant to the younger customers, which sometimes a 54-year-old brand, can forget. So yeah, we're just on our toes all the time.
Speaking of on your toes, going online so early in the game, in the year 2000, is sort of getting ahead of disruption, but you're now navigating through the disruption of disruption, which is social media.
Yes.
How do you navigate through the evolution of customer feedback? Because now customers are a lot more fussy. They expect even more. How do you deal with that?
I think at the heart of this is really the mindset that they are important and we have to listen to them.
Sure.
And so every step of the way, when we get the feedback, and it could be from various channels, people try and reach us, we take the feedback seriously. So we have, you know, every weekly, we are reviewing all the feedback.
Sure.
And we pick out the ones that we can work on and make improvements from there.
So the best way to do that is not to overreact and just deal with the feedback in a calm manner, because it comes so fast now.
Yeah, it does.
Last month, you just launched your Collection 2020 series. It includes over 150 new giant bouquets, hand bouquets, table flowers, table gardens, hampers. Could you tell us a little bit more about the theme behind this collection?
The theme? I don't think there is a central theme running through everything, but sure. What you would find... product ranges that have been created to bring the wow factor. So the giant bouquets was something that we brought to the market. The bouquets are almost as tall as I am, some of them.
Wow.
I'm about 1.5. I'm a tiny girl. So a bouquet is almost as tall as I am. And our tagline is make someone smile today. When we first trialed a small range, we had very good feedback. Customers would send me pictures, those who I know. And so this range is now incorporated into the main catalog and has become one of our perennial ranges. So that's one. When people receive them, they're really just wowed.
Yeah, you really stand out from the crowd to receive them. And people start talking like, where's this from?
Yeah, exactly. And that's actually the effect that we want to bring for recipients of flowers.
Let's talk about your first overseas e-commerce venture. It was to Hong Kong back in 2006, followed with one-stop premium floriculture center and e-commerce venture in Kuala Lumpur. This was in 2011. How have those markets, Hong Kong and Malaysia, how do they compare with Singapore?
I'll talk about Hong Kong first. It's a very interesting market. It's highly segmented. You have things that go from really cheap and customers wanting that to pots of flowers that sell for, you know, Singapore dollars, maybe $4,000 or $5,000 over Chinese New Year. People will buy them. We found that really interesting to navigate in. So when we were initially there, we took a little time to figure out where we fit in this whole spectrum. Whereas in Singapore, it's fairly homogenous.
Okay.
You know, we've tried to do something really high-end before, say in the gardens, during Chinese New Year. We carry similar products. They don't seem to quite take off here. But in Hong Kong, you know, you get really interesting reactions. So that's one. In Malaysia, we offer a smaller version of what we do in Singapore. So there's also a garden center. We have a florist there, and we also wholesale flowers in one location in Bangsa. And the wholesale side of the business is branded Floristica. I think the market in KL has some more potential for us to dig into. And we've been there a while. And I think one of the main differences is how we navigate the policies there.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. Every country has its challenge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was one of the earlier adjustments we had to make.
Best performing market, Hong Kong, Malaysia, Singapore?
Oh, it's still Singapore.
I've been dying to ask this question. You know, every year there's Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. That's where prices of roses, of flowers are sky high. Everyone's buying it. And there's a saying that that's the time of the year where florists make the most money. Is this a myth or
it
a
is
fact?
For us.
A myth?
Yes, yes.
Which part of the year then do you make the most money?
Not during Valentine's Day. Like, so obviously that's the busiest time for us.
Okay.
And the volume is high during that 1 week leading up to Valentine's Day. But if you take that into the whole month, so you see a surge like this, but... It's not like the lion's share of the year, like 70-80%. No,
okay.
No, it's not. And prices are high because raw material costs are high, right? The roses, you know, the roses are like seafood market kind of prices.
Yeah.
It goes
yeah.
by the auction prices. And when demand is so high, so it goes up. That's one. And the other thing is the people that we then have to hire to put in is, so we talk about the florist pool of people. We
sure.
typically have maybe about 20 or 30 people working in a single day. Valentine's Day, that easily doubles.
So you're talking overtime costs in that sense.
Yeah, so there's overtime costs, and we work into the wee hours of the morning. So it's a really hard time of the year for us.
Right.
But it does not generate like 70 to 80% of the sales a year.
So supply, manpower costs, and that's what goes into the pricing strategy during these holiday periods or special days, so to speak. And taking your busiest time of the year, as an example, Valentine's Day, how do you maintain quality? Because you're dealing with large quantity.
Yes, and that's always the thing that is very challenging for us. It's how to deliver 4,000 bouquets in a single day, make them earlier, and still have them go out in a quality that, you know, customers don't complain about. So I think we're one of the very few florists in Singapore who invested in a large cold room facility.
Okay.
Most of the year, it is maybe 60% utilized. And then come Valentine's Day or Mother's Day, which is the other very big season for us, we use this space to store basically all the flowers are in cold storage.
Okay, okay.
So that helps. And we've experimented with different techniques on how to keep flowers fresh. So we use flower food, for example. And we also use what we call SK2 for flowers that we do. We spray on flowers. So it's a flower food, right, that you spray on the top of flowers.
Okay, okay.
Extra cost, but it's to keep the flowers more hydrated during this period, yeah.
Anything to give you an edge. What about employee training? What goes into employee training at Flies Flora?
Usually or Valentine's Day?
Usually.
Usually. So there is this tendency for our florists. It's been really challenging for us to find skilled hands.
People who actually want to do the job
exactly.
as well.
It's not easy. Yeah. You're on your feet like about 10, 12 hours a day.
Yes, it's true. Yeah.
And it's hard work. And we've not been able to find young people who are enthusiastic to do that, you know. We deliver 363 days a week, which means then you're working on weekends.
Yeah,
you know, some of us were rostered. And so what we've been trying to do is we provide training. So we like people to come in on the job first, and you can be inexperienced at first. But we also run a school within Flies Flora, and there are trained instructors. So what we do is to put them through structured training, to equip them with the skills required for them to be competent in putting out the products to customers. So you start from a junior florist where you don't do much really. You do simple things or you wrap things. And then as you get qualified, you move on to florists and senior florists. Yeah.
Oh, so there is like a promotion hierarchy in that sense. Wow, this is very interesting. Sipe San, General Manager of FaisFlora.com. Final question for you. Any chance you could share some of the future plans of Fais Flora?
Right now, we are working on coming up with something that's more experiential. So there's this whole talk about new retail these days.
Okay.
New retail. And that's about just blurring the lines between online and offline shopping. So I think for a very long time, when you visit Fais Flora, whether in the garden centres or the cold room that stocks all the, you know, the fresh cut flowers, and when you come online, they are different.
Yeah.
Right. So currently we're working on something that brings everything together, and also a place when you walk in, you're not just looking at racks and racks of goods. You can come in and there are spaces for you to learn how to do things, to interact with plants, to learn how to make flowers, have some fun, you know, while you're shopping as well. So that's something hopefully that will come out in the next couple of years.
All right, that sounds fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today. Sipe San, General Manager of FaisFlora.com.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.